a secret soapbox society. We're going to talk about stuff. Yeah, lots of great stuff. We're gonna talk at you. Everyone can join. It's a podcast about everything, but nothing at all. No, nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Well, hello everyone again, and welcome to episode 2. That's right, not one, one more than one, two, of Secret Soapbox Society, and I have the absolute honor and pleasure of being here once again with Kelly. Kelly, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you very much.
Very nice. Kelly has a lovely smile on her face, and she just told me that I used the word fantastic for the first time
twice,
and it makes her happy when I use that word. So
in the last couple of moments, before we started recording, you said it, and yet we've been out together for a number of hours.
Not to be predictable, but I think that's, well, it's fantastic.
I think it's that big D energy.
It is the big D energy, and by D she means Dana.
Of course,
not
Dana.
What you dirty mongrels are thinking, you know. So this is episode 2, and we are hoping that you listen to episode 1. We are proud of it. Happy to have you here. And, you know, it's a podcast about everything and nothing at all. So it's, you know, and we want suggestions and we're open to things. We're very open-minded. We're very open in a lot of ways. I don't want to go too deeply into that. I'm a little parched, so I'm just going to open my beverage right now.
Oh, please do.
Thank you, Kelly.
Yes.
Kelly is just staring.
Today is sponsored by Spindrift. It is not Topo Chico like the last episode.
That's right. The last episode was sponsored by Spindrift.
I just decided.
I know. And they didn't even, and they have no idea. But if
you
we
never
become
know.
Sponsored down the road by alcohol companies,
then I would like it.
Test.
Oh, yes. That's number 3.
I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. Let's move forward. That wasn't original. Remember Mike Myers and what movie did he say that? It wasn't Austin Powers. Okay. I don't know why I'm whispering. Let me just take a sip of my bev.
Very nice. Ooh, nice sip.
The bev that refreshes. Sound effect. Thank
like
you so
it.
Much.
Yes.
Okay.
And I should just say right now, too, I'm definitely nasally because I'm getting over a cold. Mm-hmm. So just going to put that out there. It's not like the sexy, sick voice like when your voice is like kind of raspy from like a cold. It's more like, extra nasally, extra nasally. It's the antithesis of sexiness.
I happen to like it. I think, and I don't say this because Kelly and I are dearly, I almost said dearly departed, not dearly departed. Kelly and I are dearly platonic, long-term friends. So she knows when I say this, I mean nothing but good things and nothing sketchy. But I think if anything, it makes your voice, which is already lovely, sexy. Sexier, like husky. You know what I mean? People usually say that when you have a cold. Like you have a good voice anyway.
No. But I can have a good cold voice.
Yes, I'm going to take that.
This time, it's not that. It is definitely not that. I'm on the verge of like coughing. I almost sound like Robert Kennedy Jr. And like, I mean, I'm not that bad, but yes. I'm like definitely closer to that than like a sexy voice. So I think you're just being kind.
I'm being kind, yes, but I'm also being honest. And I don't think it's respectfully as bad as you may think it is. I think that it's a little less. I almost burped just then. Excuse me, pardon me 1 second. I just burped. Kelly is one of the most wonderful and colorful people you'll ever meet in your life. And it's important to her. Would that be safe to say?
Yes,
Kelly,
absolutely.
Do you want to explain
I did explain it the last time.
Oh, okay, that's right.
But I'll just give a quick rundown
for the listeners.
The reason that you won't hear us say, excuse me, even though out of habit Dana did, but that's just because he's used to, when he's not around me, saying excuse me.
That's
but when
true.
He's in my presence, he needs to just say burp, hiccup, or bick up, or he can put up an index finger to indicate that he did so.
He
does not need to say, excuse me. I actually prefer and require that my friends adhere to these rules.
I am sorry. And I mean, I literally could be brushing my teeth alone 11 o'clock at night and burp and say, excuse me, to my sad puss in the mirror, you know, puss being my face. And so anyway, I am very happy to be here. Kelly just got a new phone, by the way. I don't know if you heard that off in the distance, but she has a fancy new phone.
Figured out anything.
She's learning, but it's a big improvement, and there's a lot. It's a a steep learning curve to make sure that her text messages are the right font and monochromatically correct. Because she's noticing right now, she seems clearly distracted by the volume.
What I need to do right now,
she's going
to
do it right now. Okay.
Okay. If nothing else, I can hit the do not disturb. So that's what
okay.
I have now done.
Okay. Fantastic. Cool. So for a little bit of time, God, I just say that word automatically. So initially when we started, I said, Kelly, I want to have a theme. And the theme for this particular podcast was it's better late than never, or, it's never too late, basically. And I was thinking about a lot of personal things, demons, depression, things that I deal with being 54 years of age, trying to create hopefully a mildly successful podcast that at least if nothing else brings me and Kelly, brings us some joy and lots of accolades and just happiness. That's really the point and the goal, I think.
To create something, put something out there.
Exactly. And also to capitalize on, for lack of a better word, and yes, I would like money to be involved, but who wouldn't? But to capitalize on the fact that we're friends and we know each other. So if we give each other a little bit of shit, or if we, you know what I mean? If we remind each other
if
something
razz
good or
each
bad,
other here
we
and
razz
there.
Each other a little bit. Like
little
that, razzmatazz. That's part of our chemistry. You know what I'm saying? That's what Kelly and Dana do. You know,
we're Bostonians. To give your friends
you
shit.
Do.
If you don't, then
you do. That's how you show you care.
Absolutely.
Otherwise,
it's,
you
it's
wouldn't.
It's like in your DNA if
of
you're
course.
A Bostonian.
Yeah.
You've gone out to the West Coast. You've been in California.
Yes.
People do not sass each other out there, not in the same way that they
sass.
Do here.
Yes. In fact, if I just may talk about one of my idols for a second, I know Kelly, you love him too. I was watching a bit of Conan's podcast recently.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about East Coast versus West Coast.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I'm
oh, was it with
wrong.
Amy Poehler?
It was with Amy
Poehler.
Okay,
I just
Bam.
Listened to some
Bam.
Of that. Yep,
exactly.
Yep.
Weren't they? So please correct me. They were basically saying that on the West Coast, everybody is nice to you, right? Or everybody seems very nice, but they really don't want to help you, or they're
yes.
really going to like stab you in the back.
Yep.
But on the East Coast, everybody's like, go fuck yourself. And everybody's kind of rude, but they actually care about you and they pull over and help you jumpstart your car too.
Exactly.
In the morning.
You yep.
know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So,
and that
so,
is, that is perfectly yeah. put. I think that's
Thank
absolutely,
you.
There's
yeah.
a tough exterior, but mm-hmm. like a real
a warm, soft
genuine
yep.
heart and, you know, person in there that is, yeah. you know, a softie and a good people.
I think so. And I know that's a massive blanket statement generalization, but as someone who lived in San Diego, you know, not LA, but still Southern California, for over 19 years, I have to say that it's true. And there was a lot of BS there. And I often had a harder time reading the room, which is something that I pride myself on being able to do. And I have to say, being back here on the East Coast, I appreciate more so people being direct.
Blunt,
I don't know what,
and,
I don't know if it's
yeah.
because of the shitty weather and the potholes, but it seems like, you know, that everybody here wants to kill you when you're driving. You know what I mean? Whereas in
oh
California,
God,
they smile as they sideswipe you and they're like, sorry, but really,
I love rolling up
they
my
wanna
sleeves
hurt you.
And being yeah. like, all right, let's get into this rat race. Let's
yes.
do this.
Let's do
it's,
this thing.
I mean,
you really have to go to that
you
place.
You have to
Absolutely.
Have your game face on. If you do not, then, you
totally
know, leave
do.
Your car at home and take an Uber, because like when you were on the road in mm-hmm. Boston, oh, yeah. It
oh, yeah.
is a contact
no.
sport. It is like you need to be like,
I know. It's,
boom, ready to go.
It's
and,
terrifying.
And I'm not like an aggressive driver, but I have to be on my toes.
You do. And
you've got to be
I
ready
couldn't
for
agree
it.
More. And as someone, you're so right, Kelly. And as someone who deals with anxiety and driving itself is just anxiety producing anyway, I literally have to go to that happy place and go like, okay, I'm very likely going to die here driving 2 miles to Star Market. And so I have to go to my happy place and then I have to say to myself, let's fucking do this.
You
let's
do.
Let's do
you
this
to,
thing. You know what I mean?
It's like
go to my,
Sinatra's
like,
song, if you,
you know?
Can make it here, you mm-hmm. can make it anywhere. Well,
exactly.
that like just take that and apply it
and
to
drive
like,
to 7-Eleven.
If you can drive here, you can drive anywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
If you can make it on the roads around mm-hmm. here, then you better believe.
You better believe. You're, and I think we have.
You got it. You're good.
You
There's
are good.
Nothing that can no, ever
I'm shaking
come your
my head.
Way that you can't deal with as
exactly.
far as being on the road goes. Because, Oh yeah.
Yeah.
If everyone is mm-hmm. is tailgating.
Yes. Everyone's
up your tailpipe. They're mm-hmm. not letting you merge.
They're angry.
That is a big one. I don't know why.
Why is everybody up your ass here? It's like buy me dinner first. Everybody is in your backseat.
And if you're in the western part of the state, mm-hmm. you're fine. That's not happening. And then the closer and closer you get. Every time I visit people, like if I go to the Berkshires to visit our buddy that's living out there.
Yeah. Lovely person.
You know, I'm not experiencing the tailgating.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and that's about two and a half hours away. So, well, guess what? Once the closer I get to the city, oh boy, that I start rolling up those sleeves again.
I could guess why that is. But if we're talking about East Coast, West Coast, not versus, but just the differences that we've noticed, and obviously other people have noticed that are bi-coastal, like myself, which sounds so just pretentious for lack of a better word or just ridiculous, but it's true. As someone who's had both perspectives, people that live in LA are still, you know, there's tons of traffic there, but I have found that they were still a little bit more courteous. Granted, there's crazy traffic there and they're used to it, but there was a chiller vibe about it, about
well, yeah, everything's
so,
more...
But it's a city, so you're suggesting, and I think you're right, if you're going closer to Boston or to a city, now this is a specific city, obviously, but that it gets worse, how come that doesn't apply maybe to other cities, do you think, like to LA? You know what I mean? Like, if you're out in Pacific Palisades, of course, that's now on fire, may those people... you know, prosper. But if you're further out in Malibu, more chill, but then you're like in LA proper. I don't even know what part of LA that is. You're in Studio City or something like that, right? You're in Burbank. Okay, Burbank. Perfect.
Okay.
You know, tourists everywhere. I've driven around Burbank many times and been much more relaxed than I was. And this is interesting, driving into LA, the 20 miles into LA and whatever is on the way into LA coming from San Diego was just hellish. Just hellscape, just the roads and just sitting in traffic. But when you were in LA, even if you were in tons of traffic, something about it just seemed a little bit more manageable and not like everyone wanted to kill you in a little bit more.
I've driven...
That was way too explained.
I've driven just a tiny bit in California, in San Francisco when I was on vacation.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, San Francisco.
Yeah, you know, that's a major city.
Yes, it is. More like Boston in size, too.
Yeah, a walking city, coastal city, liberal city, lots of similarities between San Fran and Boston.
Very much so.
No craziness, though, on the road, you know, compared to what we have going on. And now I'm wondering...
No, excuse me. None.
That's right.
Zero. Sorry. Please continue.
Dex finger.
Yeah. F you, excuse me.
yes. No, I don't know if maybe... You know, is it something that's been ingrained in our city forever?
Like a fight or flight kind of thing.
When there were like horse and buggies, were people also just equally like crazy on the roads, even that far back, so that it's just.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Oh my God, I just burped in your coffee. Hang on, let's just get it all out. Like,
mayhem.
Okay.
Mayhem.
Great. It just dissolves into sounds
is it
and
in,
farts.
In the DNA of the city driving on the roads, even as soon as there were, you know, vehicles of any kind, like horse and buggies, like were people even then, you know, because I feel like the West Coast would have been, you know, they're still more laid back.
Go west, young man, because it's more chill.
It's just always been more chill.
Yeah.
Is that in their DNA and, you know, it isn't in ours?
I don't know.
We're talking, here we are comparing major cities.
And let me ask you, can you take the Boston out of someone or the California out of someone? Like, I'm thinking to myself, when I was living in California, was I still the aggressive, defensive, angry driver? Or after a while, was I like, it's cool, man. Like, whatever. Please merge. Like, there's no rush, you know? I think I'm going to answer my own question. I think I did become a little bit more relaxed because how could you not when you're just sort of in that environment? It's not to say that there isn't crazy traffic and horrible things that happen on the roads. And we don't need to make this all about traffic and roads. But just mentality-wise, and it's not like I'm reinventing the wheel here or saying anything that anyone else doesn't already know, but... and again, generalizations always kill me, but there's truth to them, right? Why else would they exist, I suppose? Definitely something to think about and a reason why.
I could see adapting to the way things are over there, but can you take the Boston out of a person?
I don't think so.
No. You definitely
cannot. No, look at wonderful famous people.
Maybe adapting to the driving style for a little while if you relocate, but that's completely different from taking the Boston out of someone. No, you cannot. I can answer that.
It does seem like a lot of people from, like, famous people that are from Boston, Conan being one of them, who Amy Poehler, who's from Woburn, for example,
is it Woburn?
I believe it's Woburn. Did she say that? It might be Burlington.
Or Lexington.
I'm going to say Woburn.
Or Burlington.
Burlington.
I think that's it.
Not Vermont. Burlington. Exactly. But they are still very Boston, but it seems like, of course, they're coming from a different perspective. Money, fame, success, you know, years maybe out on the West Coast, although I was there for years. But anyway, every situation and perspective is unique, but it seems like they sort of prefer the West Coast mentality. That's just more of a relaxed state of being, you know? And of course, because there's still... It's like, I mean, New York, I mean, I don't know. Is New York as bad? I mean, I don't even get it. What am I even talking about? I haven't spent a lot of time driving in New York, but I know that it's a clusterfuck as well. So it's very difficult. I feel like I want to just shut up about this. I feel like I want to talk about something else.
We can move on.
I'm boring myself. And we can absolutely move on. I can tell that your eyes are getting heavy, Kelly. So I'm not putting, I can tell that you're drifting off.
I put my jammy jams on.
Kelly's actually laying back and drinking some chamomile and just taking it. She's taking it down a couple levels. Even my cat is on his side looking
he's like,
this is so boring. I don't have a will to live. Yep. He's like, I'm on my back.
He's done.
He just jumped off the roof into.
He's offed himself.
He's just offed himself because he's like, this, I can't take it. Forget the other eight lives. I'm done. So, okay. What I wanted to talk about though is about just, you know, something positive, I think. And I want to commend Kelly and call her out, and if she wants to talk about it, that's great. But I am someone who, like many of you, struggles with we all have depression and a lot of it's situational, but I am someone who deals with chemical anxiety, depression, ADHD, been treated, taken all the drugs, being treated for treatment-resistant depression right now, and I'm taking Spravato, which, you know, esketamine. Don't know if it's helping me, it might be hurting me. I mean, that's maybe a dramatic statement, but, you know, who knows, because it's so new. But better to do something at any stage in your life, whether you're 40 or you're 54 like I am, than never at all. And I don't know, okay, there was a cat who just jumped up. Is he dead? I think he just...
He just was up my butt for a second.
He was up your gut. My
puss. I don't know what was happening.
I don't know. I don't want him to...
There was a cat attack.
Yeah, we don't want him. There was a cat attack.
On my backside. But I'm fine, everyone. I'm fine.
We don't... She's fine. We don't want him to be on the table here because he'll take over the podcast. But Kelly is someone who changed her career. Can I say at what age?
Did a complete 180 at around 40.
Still very young, but just decided, I've had enough of this. I can do better. I want more, and I'm gonna pursue my dreams and my passions. And I am so envious of that, and proud of her, and think that that's just so wonderful. But for me, maybe that's a little bit more challenging, because maybe I don't have as clear of a vision even now as to what the hell I'm doing with my life, or what one thing I'd like to focus my energy and my passions on. So I guess if I can interview you, like we're not just doing this together, but what was the impetus for that thought, and what does it feel like as you started to move towards this goal?
Felt really good to... I'll tell you exactly what the catalyst was for a change.
Yeah.
It was the pandemic.
Yeah. Okay.
It was giving me time for the first time in my life to hit the pause button and actually reflect on the things I had already been considering in my mind. That time was like a gift for me. I know for some people, you know, and it was definitely a trying time.
Sure.
You know, because as someone who loves to hear live music and go out all the time, that wasn't something that I could do. But on the other hand, for once in my entire adult life, I didn't have to work for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And while my workplace decided what they were going to do, they just shut down for a couple of months. So I was like, well, what do you know about that?
Yeah.
So I sat there and I had some time to think.
Yeah.
And I realized it just kind of all manifested and came from that. I realized that I needed to, with 40 years old, was approaching. I was almost 40. And then I did turn 40 during that time. And I realized, yeah, I needed to make some changes. So I made, I took steps to change my career. I actually stepped away from a long time relationship.
Yes. Difficult.
A marriage. Yep. Yeah. So
painful and difficult.
Yeah, not easy. Change. Something that, you know, it took a while to actually come to the realization that I had to kind of pull the trigger on
change. What is, I mean, every situation is unique, and even those two different situations are unique in your life as to what finally got you to pull the trigger and to get to your, to reach your saturation point and to finally just say, whether it was consciously or not, I've had enough. I need to make a change, or this just isn't working. Where, because a lot of us, yourself included, I know, for quite some time, for example, in that relationship, we're questioning that relationship, or maybe it'll get better, or, you know, like millions of people, maybe somehow he or she will change, or things will change, or I'll feel differently, or if only this would happen, then, but it doesn't, but you stay because you're just optimistic. But what does it take to sort of, was there like a defining moment? Not that you maybe need to share that. But,
no, I don't think there was any one particular thing. It was just a combination of things kind of coming together at the same time.
Okay.
The fact that I was hitting a milestone where I was like, it's kind of like, you know, if I'm going to start a second career, I should probably start it, you know, now.
Yeah.
You know, like now is the time. And then once that thought kind of set in, you know, it just, it ran from there. It's like, okay. Now's the time. It's time to pull the trigger. It's time to, you know, just make changes. And little by little, I just kind of came up with like a little baby step plan that I'm still implementing, but all as well.
Awesome. That's awesome. It's hot in here, by the way. I'm asking because I need help also, because I, excuse me. Oh God, I shouldn't have said that. I apologize that I apologized, but for burping.
You need to stop.
I'm very gaseous this evening, but I have a hard time, a nearly impossible time, not getting out of my own way, or you know, getting out of my own way, and overthinking everything, and lack of self-belief. And let's use this as an example. This podcast that we're just starting, it took me such a long time to even go from thinking about it to purchasing equipment to even coming up with a name to conception, and we're still at the very beginning of this, the precipice. We're still sitting, and I still, as we're doing this, even though I think this could be good for both of us, and we have something to share with the world and to offer, I still feel in some ways, you know, pessimistic, and I question things. You know, is this what I should be doing? But you know what? When I'm talking right now, and Kelly's being so patient with me, but when I'm talking, it feels good.
Yeah.
It actually feels good. And it's good to feel good. Isn't that enough?
It's okay, like, that it took time to, you know, to get there with the equipment and whatever. The important thing is you did it. And now that you've got that stuff set up, it's just going to get easier from this point on.
You're absolutely
right. So every little step you take and implement, you're on your way to something. You're on the road.
It
gets easier the more and more and more you build upon what you're working towards.
Is that how it has been for you? Is it like a snowball rolling down a hill? Like, is it a, you know,
I think if you have
cumulative, if you will?
I think if you have it in your head that that you are, you know, starting a multi-step plan and you're playing the long game and, you know, as long as you have some kind of goal to reach down the road, but, you know, you got something, it's good. It's, you know, you have to give yourself credit for being like, all right, hey, I, you know, it could be the simplest thing, but you could be like, hey, I achieved something.
You're right.
There can be mini goals within the big goal that, you know, so
So a lot of the joy, if you will, for the, and a lot of the success is just in the trying alone, is just in the attempt. Even if the attempt fails, you can never say, I didn't try. And I what was it, Wayne Gretzky or something? I can't think of the quote, but there's like, you know, you miss, you know, 100% of whatever the shots you don't take or something to that effect. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard. I can only speak for myself, but it's very hard to not take years of bad behavior, lack of moving forward, feeling stuck, feeling confused, lack of self-belief, and still, even as you're doing something positive like this, live in that space, you know, mm-hmm. and still feel, it's like, do you consciously, and my therapist and I were talking about this, no, I don't believe this to be true for me, but do you consciously or even somewhat unconsciously actually want to fail? Do you want to stay in your comfort zone of sadness and lack of completion and dissatisfaction?
Yeah, like, I think
like,
that's...
Like, do I really want that?
Well, that is your comfort place now.
But it's not so comfortable. It's painful, you know?
But yet it's all you know, so you stick with it.
Yes.
So you need to break through that, and that takes, you know,
isn't it crazy? I can see myself maybe being happier, or like I could see this a year from now, and we have now instead of having seven, we have.
And then you're standing on your yacht with your hot chick girlfriend, and you're laughing.
I could be sitting.
And you're just like throwing money off of the side of the yacht because you're doing that good that you can just like give money to the fish.
That would be amazing. But I have set my sights so much lower than that. Like I could be sitting on.
Well, I mean, let's be realistic. That's not really happening.
That's never. That's never going to happen. That's so true. I could be sitting literally in the rain on the corner, garbage all around me, crying, you know.
I do not see that for you.
But I'm like, at least I have my podcast, you know, to do like, and still feel like I've accomplished something. When you're very low, it doesn't take much to feel a lot higher, to get a lot higher when you're sort of bottomed out, you know?
There's something about
when you're at the bottom, all you can do is
nowhere to go but higher, up.
But up, exactly. So, and I just want to make it clear that.
So the question is, have we hit rock bottom yet?
I feel that over the last year of my life, I had pretty much bottomed out, and I had gotten to the point where I am not, and I say this with the deepest compassion,
growl,
empathy for people.
That was another one.
Nicely done. Throat
growl.
Nicely done.
Sorry, that's
another thing. I would never make light or not have compassion for someone who actually is in such pain that they feel like that their life is not worth living at all and they take their life or want to take their life. I have not had suicidal ideation. I know that's a very serious thing to even begin talking about. But I think a lot of people who don't can also relate to a place where you don't want to take your own life. You don't actually want to die. But you don't know how to live, and you also just can't go on like this anymore, and you just can't stand thinking about everything. So you just kind of want to be like cryogenically frozen for a couple of months. You know what I mean? Or
sleep and come back.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know, come back.
Austin Powers.
I know. How many? Did they make three of those movies?
They sure did.
They did make three.
Yeah.
He's still. I was gonna say viable. He's still. Doing things, right?
Yes, he is.
Mike Myers.
Yes, he is.
Kelly Myers. He is wonderful.
Amazing. I love his work.
I love his work as well. That's all I have to say about him. But no, well, I loved...
Basically, yes. All is not lost. And it's okay to have, you know, feelings like you're saying.
Yeah. I think when I started sort of commending you, even though I truly meant that, and I started saying, you know, Kelly has started over and I'm so proud of her. All that's true. But in some unconscious way, I was using that so I could get to a point where I talked about how sad I've been, you know, or a way to kind of compare or contrast. Because honestly, like when people tell me, you know, and it's not a mean thing, of course, it's just I am trying to draw parallels and trying to extract positivity and live vicariously through you and gain strength and through my friends and just remain as positive as I can be despite all of the negativity that I feel physically and mentally at times. But, I just sometimes don't have the words, you know? I just want to tell you this, and Kelly can appreciate this. Kelly and I were talking about this earlier. Kelly and I are both, aggrandizing, is that the word? We're both very funny, creative people, you know? But for me, when I get really scared is when I lose my sense of humor. Or when I can't find things funny, because then I'm really, really
depressed. Definitely not.
Although they say a lot of funny people, and I'm not going to compare myself to any, you know, super funny people, but people, it all comes from a place of great pain and dissatisfaction and abuse and neglect and what have you. Of course it is. It's a reaction. It's a coping mechanism, right? It's a way to stay alive. You know that things are maybe going in the wrong direction when you lose that, because that's a part of my personality that is innate, that is cultivated, and that I love, and that that I never want to lose. And if I can't laugh, then I feel like I have nothing, honestly.
I don't know what I would do without being able to crack jokes, even in the most like the
dire
worst
situation.
Yeah. The worst of circumstance, like sometimes that's like the best time to pull out like something awful to say.
Yeah.
And I need that.
Most inappropriate time at a funeral.
Yes. Yes. Like,
are you sure he's dead?
You have to. You have to go there. Yeah.
You do. I want to share. I went to, it just made me think about this. This is just more about how people react to things and how there's no right or wrong way to kind of sometimes to a degree react or grieve. I was dating a girl once and her grandmother had passed and she called me hours before the funeral and said, I can't do this. And she was crying and can you please come with me? And I threw on a suit and, you know, 2 hours later I was with her and her family and I was sitting in the front row, even though I was not family because I was dating her. And her mother basically said to me, you know, mother was very sad, but it was her mother's mother, but can you sort of watch her? And, you know, she's having a hard time. Mm-hmm. So when they started talking about the grandmother, we hear a little little chuckle. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I look over and she's stifling and she's covering her face, trying to not chuckle.
Your girlfriend?
My girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
And the next thing you know, loud cackles and hysterical laughing, and oh, grandma,
erupted
and
worked, in the entire room?
Erupting in the entire room.
Oh, it was. Okay, not just her laughing maniacally.
Exactly. It's just the rabbi talking, and then there wasn't a casket there, so these are a bunch of Jewish people like myself, right? So it was closed or whatever the person, I don't know how enough about the tradition. I did work in a cemetery, I don't even know. But the point is that she was laughing hysterically, and her mother said to me, get her the hell out of here right now.
Oh, whoops.
And so even though I didn't want to infantilize or tell my girlfriend what to do, I sort of coaxed her out of the room and went outside.
So wait, was it her laughing alone or was it the whole room?
It was her laughing. Nobody's laughing. Dead silence, but mm-hmm. for their talking about, oh, Margaret was a wonderful woman and she was philanthropic and all these things.
Throat growl again.
And nicely done.
Sorry.
Very good. And then a loud cackle throat growl and hysterical, almost mockery. Of her grandmother's death. Like her reaction to that death at that moment was so uncomfortable that she just, all she could do was laugh. Did you just burp?
I did. I did the finger.
Nicely done. You did the finger burp. The finger burp sounds like it's a weird thing. If you don't see it, what does that even mean? She put up her finger and she burped. She didn't finger her throat and then burp or, you know, make herself burp with her finger. Now I'm over-explaining it as I do everything.
I conjure burps with my finger.
She's now circling her finger around like she's stirring a cauldron of burps and gaseous substance things.
There's all kinds of things going on over
now
here.
She's coughing. There's a lot happening across from me on the other side of the table right now.
Oh my God.
It's okay.
Margaret's probably like possessing Margaret. Me right now.
But
it's like
it
old
was
woman like coughs and stuff. Okay. Yeah. Right on.
I don't, you know, again, I just free associate. But you know, if anybody's ever, let me just say, lost someone, and that's pretty much anybody listening to this, all I can say is if you ever lose anybody or anything that you love, never listen to anybody else, in my humble opinion, when they tell you how to grieve. There is no right or wrong way. I mean, obviously, don't grab a gun and shoot seven people because you're depressed, but it's a very individual thing, and those stages come in all different orders, you know, the stages of loss and of grieving. So, yeah.
So the laughter, I'm sorry. So when she was laughing, you said that the whole room, she was filling the room.
She was filling an otherwise quiet room with laughter. People were all like, shh.
Okay.
And she's family. This is her grandmother.
Well, you know what? Yeah.
She couldn't stop her hysterical laughing.
I've had moments where I laughed at the worst possible moment. And it just happened because it was just such an awkward, awful thing. And it happened.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, you just can't help it and you don't know how you're going to react until you're in a situation. I think that's one of the nicer things about getting older is even though you can't predict, I mean, everything is unique. Even if something's happened to you before, you may react differently, but you get a better sense for how you're going to react in a certain situation. Like when the shit hits the fan, I don't run. Or when things get tough, I sprint
easy.
In the other direction and I flee and scream like a little bitch.
I don't scare easy.
You don't scare easy. And you know that because you've been in terrifying situations.
Yeah. People going through bad situations or whatever, they can be like, I'm so sorry. And they'll break down and cry and whatever. And I'm like, no, like, please, it's okay. Like, I've seen a lot. I know a lot of people that are, you know, that have just struggle and go through things. And no, it does not at all deter me from, you know, I actually run towards the dysfunction. I do not turn my back on it. No.
That is wonderful.
I'm actually like more comfortable around people that are real and are having human moments. And I think that's more honest and it doesn't freak me out.
Well, I like knowing that because God forbid I ever need you to defibrillate me or something, or I start, you know, gripping my chest when I'm with you. I know you're going to be like, let's save this son of a bitch, you know, or let's at least, well, she's like,
No, I mean, I would do everything I could, but I'm not saying I'm an EMT.
Right.
I'm there,
I might try unless I get a phone call.
I was talking more about like if somebody's going through emotional distress, of course I will try to do everything. Yes. I will try to channel in the, which reminds me, I should probably get recertified for all my CPR and all training.
Especially because you work with kids.
So I need to get recertified. Okay, so we learned something today. I need to get recertified for my...
Nicely done.
Yeah,
mark it down.
But no, I just meant like, you know, of course I will do everything in my power to medically help you.
Emotional support. Nicely done. Do you give advice that you don't take or that you can't take? Knowing that what you're saying is the right thing or the best thing for that person, for that course of action, your heart's in the right place, you're compassionate, but you know, I can't do that. I would never do that myself, but they should.
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, you know, I like to think that, you know, of course, having a rational, logical mind. It's always throat growl again. I can't stop them.
I don't know if the mic would pick up. I was like,
did you hear it?
I did.
It was like,
I heard it. And you're like not even next to the mic. It's like,
there's
like a little Wolverine inside your throat or something.
Seriously. It really is.
I think she swallowed a small rabid animal when we were walking
around. Makes me think about a quaddo. Do you have a quaddo? So I call it Quaddo, which is from Total Recall. It's like the leader of the resistance.
Okay. Was that
it was the like big? the monster in the belly.
The baby, you know? In the stomach? Was it like a baby?
Yeah, kind of like a baby.
Yes,
yeah.
Quaddo.
And then SNL even did a sketch, even though it was like many years after Total Recall, because Total Recall came out in like 1987. I feel like
great movie, really.
I feel like this sketch came out in like the 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either way, though, but then they did a sketch about it, how like this guy had like a Quaddo and he was at a party and he's like, oh, I think Quaddo wants to come out. And it was so funny to me. But anyway, my stomach makes noises.
Like it has a Quaddo.
Yeah, like I call it Quaddo.
I thought you said it first Quaddo and I was like Quattro or something.
Quaddo.
Quaddo.
But that's just what I call my stomach monster. But it is very noisy. It could be when I'm hungry or when I've eaten.
Yes.
So on top of throat growls, I also have a Quaddo that makes noises. And one time I was on the phone with my mom and I had her on speaker because we can go on these like marathon like phone calls. Mm-hmm. And it's just easier to have her on speaker. So I like laid the phone. I was like laying on my back and I had the phone on top of my stomach and I'm just shooting the shit with her. And all of a sudden my stomach is like making crazy noises and I'm thinking nothing of it. And she ends up going, oh my God.
Burp. Illustrating your point. Burp.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you guys I apologize in your ears.
I think usually you're a lot better at just, you know,
stifling.
Saying the burp.
Please, I didn't mean to stifle you. That wasn't unconsciously. Please tell me more about your mother.
She said, what? What? She's like, Kelly, stop. Wait. She's like, I hear something.
Yeah.
I hear something. I'm like, what? What do you hear? And then it dawns on me, oh my God, it's Quaddo. And then she goes, I think I hear like a thunderstorm or something. She heard a thunderstorm, but no. It was the rumbling was no thunder. No thunder at all.
It was your innards.
So I explained to my mom Quaddo and she was like, what?
What is a Quaddo?
Quaddo? What are you talking about? What is that weirdo stuff you're talking about? And she's like, oh my God. She's like, Kelly, what the hell is this? And
show her the movie.
So basically,
didn't Quaddo die? Quaddo died. I think
did he?
Killed. I think he like a little. He like came out of the stomach. He was like separate, And
well, the guy that was like the host of him would have to kind of
he opened his trench coat,
and then I think he'd be like drained of his energy or something, so he would almost not be like talking. That's right.
He would shut down basically.
Yes, he would
shut down. Boop 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 boop. Yes. Like exactly. Now I remember.
So yeah, Quato basically he lives inside me and. Here's something that I would love, like if there was a way, which we don't have right now, but if there was a way for, people, whoever the 12 people are that listen, to respond to us, like to email us or something.
Oh yeah.
I would love it if people could, if their stomach makes noises, if they could record it and then put it on, put like an audio file on and then email it to us.
I'm going to respond to that.
I have tried to record my own Quato, and then suddenly it's like he won't talk.
He won't perform like on command.
I've tried to put my voice recorder on to try to get some audio of your
Quato stomach.
Yeah, I just like put the phone on and try to hit record when he's being very active, and then suddenly he gets all shy.
Yes. Oh my God.
So I would just love if people we knew could.
That would be awesome.
Send
our
some
would do that.
The two and a half people
that listen to this.
Whoever. One person. I would be happy.
Even if it's an animal. Like, I don't care if it's...
It could be a piece of fruit
that's like, oh, I make sound.
It has to be stomach noises.
It has to be...
recordings of stomach noises is what I now require.
Fruit juice gurgling or something, yeah.
Juice gurgling?
I'm thinking... I'm just assuming nobody's going to listen to this. So I'm like, if it's a pear and it's like, I gurgle, that has that somehow it becomes self-aware somehow or something.
So now you're...
Or like
reanimated.
It's AI or
you're
something.
You're reanimating fruit.
An AI pear or something. And
like,
and it records itself because it has the technology.
See, to, like what I'm talking about is totally normal, and what you're talking about is crazy.
Well, I have not done enough drugs today. Let me tell you one thing, though, just to comment on that. My dear friend Deb, who is wonderful, is a web designer, and she has just started designing a website, Secret Soapbox Society. And there is a place on there where we're going to, after we publish these and do a number of episodes so that we can give the four listening people, the listening public of, you know, 2.75 people, you know, something to look forward to for maybe a month or what have you. And then by the end of it, you know, we're the only people listening back to ourselves just ramble or me babble, both of which apply to me always. Okay, now I feel bad about myself. Anyway, but there's going to be a place for comments on there. And I'm going to ask her if there's a place where people can upload shit, you know.
Yes, I would love
because
it.
I think that's excellent, because that's how we're going to grow.
And I would love people that are listening to also put any questions they have that they want us to answer.
Yes, I would love that too. Because it is the reason why I came up with the name, and alliteration and everything else, but it's secret. So, there's a little bit of, you know, enigma
we're
there.
We're wearing cloaks right now.
Exactly. We're very shielded, and we're hidden, and you don't see us, you know, like you do a lot of podcasts these days.
Cloaks.
Soapbox, because we want to get up and talk about what the hell we want to talk about, whether you know, we're coming into your ears, whether you like it or not. Like, this is what we're saying. You can't stop us. You can just turn us off. Please don't. Anyway, and then society, most importantly, because it's for everyone. It's for everyone. This is for everyone. We don't give a goddamn about who you are, where you come from, how much money you make, how tall you are, you know, how much you weigh when you're wet.
The closer from the gutter that you come.
Exactly.
The more welcome you are.
Exactly. Even if you are a neurotic Jewish person from Brookline like myself, we still accept you. And we still like
we
you.
Welcome that.
We welcome that. We welcome all the neurosis in the world. And so I just want it to be an all-inclusive place. So we have to have a place
freaks,
for people to
please.
Be able to freaks and geeks
especially.
and dirks people from
dinkles
and winkles.
That's dirty uncles anyone who didn't know.
Oh really?
Ginkles
and I was crinkles or well that's
dirty uncles.
Dirty
those
uncles
are dinkles.
Dinkles.
Yeah. So
Kelly, since we're saying dinkles, you know, all I do is free associate. Kelly told me I have been saying to women looking for love in all the wrong places that I am sending you, because I thought I was being so cool, a non-sketchy hug. But I think, Kelly, you said to me, I believe when I asked, and tell me if I'm wrong, but that is saying I'm sending you a non-sketchy hug, so I'm trying to be cute and non-threatening because I know that I'm not, is actually sketchier than not saying that.
Yeah, you know? I don't even remember that, but okay. It does. No, no, but I
feel like I asked you once.
No, but and
you
it were does like, sound
yeah,
like
that does sound.
It sounds like something I would say.
Well, I think and you're I like, absolutely... that sounds a little sketchier than if you didn't say that.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, it okay. does. It does. Okay. It would be better to just. Yeah.
I always
just
do that.
Say sending you a hug.
Yeah, say, or I put like
when you try to advertise that you're not doing something.
Right.
You know, I don't mean to be a bitch, but well, guess what? You're being a bitch.
Exactly.
Everything that you're about to say is bitchy.
Hugging you in my hand is not on your ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. Where does my hand want to be? Exactly.
Sending you a non-sketchy hug.
Exactly.
Nothing sketchy here, folks.
By the way, is my cat still up your ass?
No, no. He okay. He's separated gone. A while
okay,
ago.
Okay, I think he has separation anxiety. I just want you to know, if I can just comment on... I'm going to take a little sip of my Bev.
Please. I love it. I love. I can't wait to hear the sound effects. I think that this...
I love it.
...might be even if Delicious. Like... Even if we're blabbing, like this might be my favorite episode just for like sound effects.
I'm loving it.
I've got coughs. I've got throat growls. I've got you.
Nah.
Yes.
I just, like, what I want to do is I want to do this as much for you and for me and for our own delusions of grandeur, not delusions, our own self-aggrandizing, our own catharsis and our own to just self-serve. But I really want to provide people, one person, as I've said, 0.7, you know, 3/4 of a person, whatever, a half a torso. That sounds a little sketch, but I just want to provide content.
Tom Thumb. Little person.
I'm going little tiny person. Little teeny person.
Well, when you said torso, stature. It made me think of
I want to provide torsos with substance, with good content. I don't want it to all just be fluff. I want to be
entertaining. A torso wearing a cloak because we're a secret society.
Yeah.
I mean, we're telling secrets in a society.
Yeah.
Either way, there's torsos wearing cloaks.
Yes, we are. We're uncovering all of the things that have been covered and not spoken of.
Oh, so then about. Is there a big reveal and then the cloak comes off because we're uncovering, or
I think the cloak
is there a big like reveal?
I think the cloak is transparent from the very beginning. I think we might still be wearing our cloak, but we're you know, it's keeping us warm and making us feel comfortable and not coddled, but making us feel. But it's giving us, if anything, more of the strength to just deconstruct and to be open and honest. And what do you think? I don't want to think like we're sudden. I mean, I want to reveal things, but I feel like we've been doing that since the very beginning, as if we've done like 50 episodes, but like since the last episode, we've been nothing but honest and direct and,
that's,
and
kinda,
real.
I kind of want to make a
think?
Cloak.
You want to make a cloak?
Yeah, matching cloaks.
I'm totally into whatever you want. You know, I'm going to totally cave
okay,
right now and
great.
Be like, okay, so whatever I just said, forget all that. Like,
I'm thinking big. We're going to have merch. We're going to have sponsors. We're going to have cloak merch. And then it's going to take off. And then everyone is going to be wearing them. Again, all 12 people that listen to us. We're going to have a gang. And then like every once in a blue moon, we'll see like one other person. It's one of our 12 listeners and wearing a cloak. And we're going to be like, oh, it's all.
What's up, cloaked?
And then we know that they're like Kelly, part of our crew.
I love that. Are we talking about merch?
Yeah,
I think we're talking about merch already.
Cloaks.
Like
who,
we haven't even released anything. We're already talking about merchandise. This is so like ahead
who
of.
Who wears cloaks? No one. I mean,
magicians,
maybe a couple.
Like magicians, sorcerers.
Yes.
You know, people that are saucy. Our people are gonna wear cloaks.
Yes.
I think if I wore a cloak, if we wore a cloak while we were doing this, we might reveal more.
I mean,
about
we did say earlier that we were, but we were kind of fibbing.
Oh,
no, it was
true.
A harmless lie.
Yeah. No, we're fully cloaked.
But we are going
to
be.
Yeah.
Well, a cloak.
I mean, I'm wearing a short.
When you're not
sleeve,
wearing a cloak, it doesn't shirt, mean you're not clothed.
Right, and your people aren't what they seem anyway. So it's more it's physical. It's not metaphysical. It's what's the word I'm looking for? It's symbolism. It's something. It's not just like a tangible cloak. You know what I mean? I mean it's hiding. It's a facade.
You're saying figurative
it's a facade.
Language.
Figurative, like a facade.
Yeah, but I'm actually. Being literal in the sense that I actually want everyone to wear clothes.
An actual cloak. An actual cloak. This beverage made my voice weird. Okay, that was weird.
All right, so yes, basically we will be wearing clothes.
We will be wearing cloaks.
And other people are going to as well.
I feel
well.
Like I just had my bar mitzvah again. I'm like, Baruch Atah.
So just know that down the road, we've got more things to...
We have many more things.
Get on the agenda.
I don't want to like stroke our egos and like, you know, like just give ourselves big hugs and pats on the back. But I think that this is going very well. I think that we're doing an excellent job thus far.
Sure.
Sure.
Why not?
Why not? Why not think that? That sounds great. That's great.
I mean,
when you think about all the millions of people that are out there talking in some situation, perhaps like ours, but how do you differentiate yourself? I don't know. I can't. The thing is, if I worry about that, then I'm not going to be authentic. You know what I mean? Then I'm not going to try.
You just need to give them a cloak,
and they all need to go. There's enough space. Like, I think to myself, this is just a random thought, all the time, like, I'll hear a new song or a new band that I've never heard before, and I'll hear an amazing song, and I'll think, how come I've never heard this before? And I'll go, there's a never-ending supply of great music and great talent out there. And sometimes I feel like, doesn't it ever sort of run out? You know, I mean, I know things are recycled and like there wouldn't be a lot of music, as we both probably agree, like if the Beatles never existed, you know what I mean?
Right,
they wouldn't be.
Right.
They're so incredibly influential. Right.
Yeah.
But you know, there's so many songs that are what, four chords and so on and so forth. But I guess my point is, it just seems like every generation, every however much time passes, I have no idea. I have no conception of time. But there's always going to be like another Chris Farley, you know what I mean? Or another Phil Hartman. Why am I using comedians that were brilliant, you know, or really just great and authentic? But, you know, there's going to be another Prince at some point, although that is kind of hard to...
Maybe
not another Prince,
because
he was a god, just, as far as I'm concerned, you know? I mean,
sure, eventually, you know, a new talent comes along.
Is going to be another Bowie?
They have to do something that hasn't been done before or tweak things in a way that, yeah, it's a new way of looking at something that has been done. So
it hasn't all been done, but it's all built upon itself, right? Like, it's all layers and layers of things that have been done that have been... You can't not be influenced by everyone else.
Sure.
Right. I mean, I guess so. But the thing is, like, I don't listen to podcasts. So, and I always thought, I don't know the attention span for podcasts, you know, and I'm sure you feel the same way if you're listening to this right now, you know, but you know, why would I want to listen to him?
There'll be a lot of editing.
Exactly.
Don't you worry, folks.
I'm not going to listen to this. When we
put this out, there'll probably be about 2 minutes.
It'll be about 2 minutes. Deb's going to cut it down to about 14 seconds and the intro and outro,
will take up the 2 minutes,
which, by the way, were done by my dear friend, Sharon, who just, we just came up with.
Oh my God, I love it. I'm so happy with it.
And I thank you for saying that. And
what a doll. I can't wait to meet her and give her
a ukulele. And
I'm going to give her an unsketchy hug.
You should give her an un or non sketchy hug as well.
Oh, non sketchy.
She's actually worthy of sketchy hugs. She probably would like, I mean, no, she and I are definitely platonic.
So if I was like, psst,
come here,
Sharon, can I give you a non sketchy hug? Is she going to run the other direction, or is she going to be okay?
She probably would blush, and knowing her, oh God. Oh my God. She's created a monster. I do want to apologize, because it is, I think, disgusting to be burping into people's ears. Like, you're not even paying for this, but you're listening. Oh, like, what did you listen to yesterday? Some random asshole burping in my ear, you know, while I was like getting my Spravato treatment with my headphones on. Like, you know, no, I'm so sorry that I traumatized you.
Well, that's what's going to set us apart from the rest of the people. So you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, 12 listeners.
How do you feel, Kelly, now about signing off? Do you feel satisfied with this episode?
I feel pretty good about it. I think
like we've learned more about each other, and we've discussed some things.
I think we've grown. I think
some cool things.
We've come up with...
we've evolved a little bit.
Yeah, we shared some deep thoughts and some...
Not so deep thoughts,
exactly.
Do you think we hooked them? We got them in. They're going to be like episode three, or they're after one. They were like, who would want to hear two? Two was weaker than one. Or now am I overthinking it?
I wouldn't even worry about it.
Okay.
We're just going to do our thing.
I want to tell you this.
I
have a dear friend. I gave him our first episode. And I said, only yourself and Deb and myself, like, just give me your opinion, right?
Yes.
He listened to about 10 minutes of it 2 weeks ago. It was pretty good.
He's like, no, I haven't. I'm going to give you a major wedge. He could consider himself warned, but guess what? He'll never hear this, because he's not going to listen to the whole episode.
That's right.
So I'm going to give him a big fat wedgie. And
Ben,
I've said it here, and he's not even going to know
wedgie
that it's coming.
You've
been warned, but you're not going to know it because you don't listen.
You're a good friend. You're a good
person. He's going to regret it when I wedgie him.
Well, Kelly, do you have any parting words? The last things you'd like to say before we wrap this one up?
I just want to say peace out to the peeps. And I really want people to get some cloaks, and I hope they record their quados.
Get a quado cloak, and we will be coming at you sooner than later with our third episode. We hope that you like this. And all we want to do, I'm going to speak for Kelly, and Kelly will please interrupt if I'm wrong. But all we want to do, she's interrupting. All we want to do is entertain, serve the public, and make people feel good and get other people's opinions. We want everybody, we want this to be a discussion, if you will.
Yes.
If I could afford more than two mics, and if I could have 12 of you, even though there's only going to be three of you that are going to listen to this, I'd have you all here and we wouldn't be listening to the podcast. We'd all be doing it together. We'd be having a discussion. So I want it to be interactive.
Absolutely. I want people to share.
I almost said I want people to touch me.
come on, touch me.
Exactly. Oh, Val Kilmer. He was great in that. See, I'm doing it now. He was great in the Doors movie. He did all the singing too. He was so gorgeous. May he rest in peace. Thank you very much. This has been episode 3 of Secret Soapbox Society. No, episode 2. Wishful thinking. This has been the episode before
episode three, the episode before, because
that would suggest it's the last one. It's just the episode before episode 3. And Kelly and I thank you for being here, and please continue to listen, and we look forward to sharing with you in the future, and have a great evening. Thank you. Bye.
It's the Secret Soapbox Society. We talked about everything but nothing at all. Do you feel better? I feel better. Did you have a release? I had a release. I feel good.